Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If there were one verse that could sum up the gospel in just one line or phrase, I think this reading today from John is it, right? John 3:16. John kind of nails it in this one little verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. There's sometimes as a pastor or a preacher that you have a text from the scripture reading where you think, what more can I add to that? Maybe I should just sit back down and let us move on with worship. This might be one of those days, but I guess I'm supposed to fill some time, so I'm going to talk for a while. This is such a beautiful, simple message that we hear in the third chapter of John. But of course, as we read before it, as we read on after it, as we dig in deeper, like most of what Jesus has to say, it does get more complicated and more layers to it. So I want to dive into some of that this morning. For example, just the verse John 3:16 gives us a lot to chew on. For God so loved the world, it says. This is the first thing that we should notice and watch out for, because all too often I've seen or heard people misread this text as if it said something more like, for God so loved us, meaning for God so loved me and my people, so that whoever thinks and believes like me would be saved. But that's not what the text says. That's not biblical. It says that God so loved the world. And that means that God so loved Cardinals fans and Cubs fans. It means that God so loves Republicans and God so loves Democrats. I know we're not supposed to say that today, but it's true. It means God so loves Americans and Syrians and immigrants and citizens. God loves the whole world. It means God so loved even those who have committed crimes or in prison. God loves the whole world. And this is hard. This kind of expansive, inclusive love that God shows, it's a hard thing for us to get our heads around. This one verse simultaneously offers us the deepest level of comfort and promise and hope. And at the same time, it challenges us and critiques everything we're taught to believe. It subverts the ways that the world would have us think. So much of the way the world teaches us to think is in binary, sort of this either or, us or them, black and white thinking. Especially in times of fear or uncertainty or confusion or change. The most natural thing in the world is to circle the wagons, to start to draw lines in the sand, to tribe up so we can solidify and clarify the boundaries, the distinctions that move between me and you, between us and them, between light and dark. Now, some might read this text and say, but Jesus is clearly making that distinction here. He uses the language of light and dark. These are opposites, binary. It's clear cut. This is obviously black and white with no spectrum of gray. But again, that doesn't hold up according to the text and what Jesus is saying. Because if we put some flesh on this one verse or these few verses and put some context around it and dig in to what Jesus is saying here, we find anything but binary thinking. For example, when Jesus says these words we heard in our scripture reading today, do you remember who he's speaking these words to? It's in the context of the larger chapter 3 of John's gospel. He's speaking with Nicodemus. Now, if you remember Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, we're told. He was a teacher of the law. That means as a Pharisee, he was one who strictly kept the law, the rule of God. He was a leader, a teacher, probably by all external measures was a good man, one who seeks after and follows God's ways for his life. And as if we had room for doubt, the story even goes a bit further, and Nicodemus even says to Jesus, we know that you are from God, because no one could do the things that you're doing apart from the power of God. So Nicodemus, by all measures, seems to be someone of the light. But when does he come to see Jesus? Do you remember the story? He comes in the middle of the night, under the cover of darkness. So then Jesus starts messing with him a little bit. I think Jesus is messing with us a little bit. when he uses this language. He's subverting and challenging our binary constructed assumptions because he talks to this man who does all the things of the light during the day out in public, yet only comes to Jesus in the dark. He intentionally uses this imagery to prevent our simplistic binary thinking that we're so tempted to cling to. Yes, light and dark are opposites, but yet here stands a man in front of Jesus who is both light and dark, and struggling with the tension of the in-between. There's some good Lutheran theology in this text, right? Luther talks about us being simultaneously sinner and saint, simultaneously light and dark. Another way to think about these words Jesus says is to just think about our space in here. I mean, as we think about it, is it light in here? Maybe. Is it dark in here compared to outside on a sunny day? Yes, right? Where exactly is that line? We all exist in the in-between. I mean, who among us here is pure light? Besides Pastor Rich, of course. Or who among us here is pure darkness, right? We all exist in the in-between, in that tension between the light and the dark and that struggle. But the light is always pushing forth. It's always pushing its way in to illuminate those dark spaces. As I think about this text, I remember a time in my last synod in South Carolina where the bishop was invited to, with a few pastors, get together and go and do some ministry in a local prison near our synod headquarters. And that's not something that had ever been on my radar or on my mind, but I got a phone call saying, "Josh, I would like you to come do this with us." And everything inside me said, "No, no, 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 no." But God kept saying, "Yes, yes, 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 yes." And so when God says, "Go do this," you should probably go do it, I figured. So I did. And I found myself stepping into this scene with all of these inmates, with the bishop and a few other pastors, and I was amazed that when we got there, the people in the prison were actually leading worship music together and singing praises to God. They opened our time in prayer, and then we had some great and deep conversations about reconciliation and forgiveness and God's vision for the world. All of us in there, trapped in that space in between dark and light, all of us navigating what that meant to be. But Jesus is the light of the world. And that light is always seeking us, always chasing into our darkness. God is the only one who is pure light. The rest of us, we're in need of this light to come into ourselves, into our dark spaces. And in John chapter 1, it says this, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So for those who think they are all light, as some of us sometimes tend to do, we can't pretend or ignore the dark corners inside us. We have to let that light of Christ shine deeply on those hidden places, no matter how painful or how problematic and frightening it might be when we see what's actually been lurking in there. Following Jesus isn't just following him to church on Sunday, but it's following Jesus into the dark corners of our souls, letting him expose and then forgive and heal, bring new life. Or for those who think you're just too filled with darkness, that you're beyond guilt, that your guilt and shame are beyond God's love, unworthy of God's mercy and forgiveness, the light of Christ seeks you out like a beam cutting through the night, ready to warm and purge the weight of that darkness we feel. And this light shines even into the deepest darkness, and no darkness can stop it. No darkness can overcome this light. And we hear this, that God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So don't be afraid of the dark. Let that light of Christ shine even into the darkest places inside us so that it can bring you light and healing and new life. And then when we become filled with this glorious light of Christ, God will use you and me as a conduit, as a prism, to shine this light out to a world in need. Thanks be to God.